USA, 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 USA,
I don't want to go any, I don't want to go any louder than that because my girlfriend's sick in bed, so I don't want to disturb her. But yeah, guys, welcome to the 51-yard line. Happy belated 4th of July to you and yours. And
America.
Yeah, America. Enough said. As always, what is oh, it's the quarter century mark, episode 25. Our podcast is 25 years old.
Hot damn.
I don't think that's how the numbers work, but it's not how ages
25
work.
25 episodes
but
old?
If we did one episode a year, it'd be a quarter century old. Maybe that's how we should do it from now on.
We'll have lots
just
to talk
one
about
like, just one like just 40 one. Hour long podcast.
This
would
be an epic
year
episode.
In sports.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Tyler Berry. To my left, the incorrigible Drew Willers.
Congratulations to Glenn Perkins, former Golden Gopher, on his third trip to the All-Star Game. Everybody should vote for the best second baseman in baseball, Brian Dozier.
Wow.
To
stumping hard.
All right. To my other left, the pride of somewhere near Boston, Christian Schneider.
Congratulations to Carly Lloyd for breaking the earth yesterday.
Yeah, no doubt. And to my third left, the king of Fort Lauderdale, Steve Cravens.
Welcome to the show, everybody.
You couldn't see that because it's an audio podcast, but he put on a crown.
A Burger King crown.
So let's just start with the most immediate news, I guess, which is U.S. Women's World Cup final.
Whoo!
I should say the 2015 World Cup final went to the U.S. Women's National Team.
It
was fantastic, let me tell you.
It was an ass-kicking. I don't know anything about soccer, but that was an ass-kicking.
Beat down special.
Yeah, that first 20 minutes was an ass-kicking. And then, to be fair, they kind of kicked our ass for the next 30, but who cares?
But when you're up 4-0, you're going to take it a little easier for the rest of the game.
Well, you know what? You guys know I love asking questions unlike some other people. So I'm going to ask some I'm going to ask some questions here because, I mean, I don't watch soccer on a regular basis. I used to play it when I was a kid, but it's been a while. But anyway, I kept getting the updates on my phone. You know, goal here, goal here, goal here. I mean, that's rare, right? I mean, like sometimes soccer games, like you're lucky if you get a 2-1 score, right? I mean, to blow up that much that soon.
Just some context. Before this game, the record for a Women's World Cup final in terms of number of goals was 4. It was a 2-2 tie. It was actually 4 years ago when we lost to Japan in the final. We tied them 2-2 in time, and then we lost on the penalty shootout. This one got 7, so it was the highest scoring game by far. It was the craziest women's game I've ever seen.
It was
the equivalent of Brazil-Germany.
Yeah, and more off another crazy stat that you, like to wrap your head around is Japan through the first 6 games of this tournament that they played, they won all 6 of them, and they only gave up 3 goals the entire tournament, and they gave up 4 in 16 minutes to the U.S. yesterday.
Give him the old blitz.
It was one of the most insane. I've never seen anything like it in a men's or women's soccer game.
Crazy. And I mean, to top it all off, I mean, the fourth goal, Lloyd shooting it from 54 yards out on the other side of the field.
Absolute
that was sweet.
Insanity.
Crazy.
Absolute insane.
Well, I'm not an elite soccer mind by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not going to pretend, but did watch a fair bit of the pregame stuff, and there was a lot of good content on there.
It was a great
regarding,
intro.
It was a really good intro. But the one thing that I picked up was that the way Japan likes to play, because they're so small, they like to possess a lot, and they try to wear you down that way. So it seemed, I'm sure you guys would agree, imperative that the U.S. get off to a hot start.
Yep.
Which is exactly what they did, and It seemed like to me, granted, it seemed like from all the predictions I heard, everyone was expecting, victory by a short margin, 2-1, 1-0. Those were the things I was hearing. To come out just hammering like that must have been just demoralizing for Japan, because it didn't look like they had any idea how to respond.
The thing is with the U.S., you're totally right, completely. The U.S., up until that game, had only scored 1 first-half goal in the entire tournament. This is a team that had done it off their backline defense. Their back 4 were, like, impenetrable. They went 539 minutes without conceding a goal. Tough story, actually. When Japan scored, they we were 1 minute away from setting the all-time record in World Cup for consecutive shutout minutes.
Wow.
The record was 540, and they scored at 539. So it was like, ah, crap.
So, but, I mean, they scored at 540, which tied us with Germany at 540.
Yeah, right, right. So, yeah, I mean, but, I mean, we had historically great defense, but to blitz them so fast like that was just unbelievable.
Potentially a dumb question. How much of that is the back line, which is so, they did a great special on the back line with those four girls. They're so cute and awesome. I can't even stand it. But how much is that at the, is that the back line? How much of it is Hope Solo, or is it a just, is it a great combination
in
of both?
In this case, it was the back line.
Yep.
Yeah, I was going to say, Hope Solo had nothing to do with that first 20 minutes or so. Like, she I mean, you saw her dive for one,
way outside
the one shot Japan had in that first 20 minutes. It was just completely not even close to being close to the goal, and Hope Solo still dove for it, and they were, and the announcers were like, well, clearly Hope Solo was bored.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, yeah, she's bored. She's had to make five saves in the last five games. Like, she has not, she was not tested at all in that World Cup, except for the first game where she had to make five saves in the group stage, and then this game on a couple of occasions, both, as you and I discussed yesterday, that were blatantly Julie Johnston's fault.
Yeah, she
and they really
up.
Weren't anyone else's fault but Julie Johnston's.
Yeah, we had an own goal, and then she just made this bad tackle that it just was, like, let her defender free right in the middle of the box, which is really bad.
Yeah, it was just a way. It was an overly aggressive slide tackle. One that she shouldn't have tried to make in the box in the first place, because that's easily a PK situation. Even if she makes contact, they're probably calling that as a PK. But two, Just stay in front of your man. That's all you need to do in that situation. Just don't let him get that quick little turn and get that shot off on Hope Solo. That really wasn't Solo's fault
at
all. She had no
chance
of doing anything.
Yeah, but I mean,
besides those couple of mistakes, the U.S. played a damn near perfect game.
I know. It was unbelievable. I mean, and, you know, the thing was that when we jumped on them 4-0 so fast, I mean, for starters, I mean, we had two goals in the first 5 minutes. I mean, it was just like boom, boom, boom. And, I mean, you know, then Lloyd just has, like, the ultimate, like, soccer version of a heat check. She's like, oh, the goalie's a little bit off her line. Boom. And she just blasted.
That was amazing.
To be a little bit fair to the Japanese goalkeeper, they got unlucky with the side of the field they had to play on, because I'm sure you guys saw.
Yep.
They had this ridiculous sun glare going to the goalie's eyes. She lost it in the sun. Mm-hmm. You could see her looking up at the skylight after the play, just like, you could just tell she lost it. And I figured that's what Lloyd thought. She's like, I put this thing high enough, she's never going to see it, and she's off her line. But, I mean, it was just crazy. And right about at that point, I imagine Sasaki, the Japanese coach, was saying something like Rotota Shimashura, which roughly in English translates to parachute, because they absolutely bombed. I mean, like, Japan is the Barcelona of women's soccer. They possess the ball, they try to hold on to it, and they just got blitzed. They never lose control like that.
Did you work today?
I'm sorry?
Did you work today?
I did, actually.
How much of your lunch break was spent learning that phrase in Japanese?
It was amazing.
I did look it up. I gotta say, I'm not gonna claim to our listeners that I knew that off the top of my head.
It's good effort. It's good podcast effort.
I was like,
does this fool actually know Japanese, or did he spend part of his afternoon learning that?
I was screaming insults in Japanese. But no, it was real good. But no, it was just unbelievable performance. I mean, Carly Lloyd. Like,
I heard she's set to make huge money, big money off of endorsements.
She's going to get so many sponsors
now. Like, absolutely.
And the thing is, she was kind of the forgotten star on the team, because, I mean, like, everybody knows about Alex Morgan, Hope Solo, Abby Wambach's the senior statesman on the team. Mm-hmm. You know, she was, like, you know, her getting the trophy.
She had a great monologue before the game.
She's incredible. She's been such a great ambassador for the women's game. That video that you're talking
about,
where
she asked everybody to leave so she could kind of deliver her thoughts on her own to, it was essentially not, you know, to the team, and that's good shit. It's
And I was like, we gotta fucking win for her. Absolutely. I couldn't imagine her losing and not getting her cup after that video.
The Rock had a great message halfway through his workout that he posted. That was pretty awesome too.
He's a crazy person.
He's so sweet. Oh man,
he's a good dude. I love The Rock.
He's awesome.
But America dominates.
It was awesome, and I mean, you know, just like, I mean, I was thinking about it. Like, what Carly Lloyd did in the final, I mean, three goals in 15 minutes. Like, I've never seen a soccer player do that.
It's the best World Cup performance, men or women, in history.
By far.
Like, with, I don't think, I'm sure there'd be some soccer historian out there that would try to argue with me about that, but three goals in that amount of time, and the goals that she scored, like, none of those were easy goals.
No!
That's actually what traffic. I wanted to talk about. Like, if there was any doubt in anyone's mind that the U.S. women's national team is the best set piece team in the world, you were proven wrong. Yeah. off that first corner kick.
Great play.
One of the greatest set pieces I've ever seen. To deliver a cross, to deliver a grounded cross like that, that threads through every single Japanese defender and hits Carly Lloyd on a diagonal
in
run
stride.
Like that, in stride. Un-fucking-believable.
Yeah, and she nutmegged a defender on that goal, too. It was just like, oh, it was so perfect.
It was one of the best corner kicks I've ever seen. Like, it's ridiculous, because that's harder than just sending the ball in the air to try to get it on someone's head. To do it with that precise timing, insane.
Right, and it was like the soccer equivalent of like a basketball play right out of the timeout, too. Mm-hmm. So early in the game. Like at the very beginning of the game, we were like, they were showing the clips like the coaches, and they showed Jill Ellis, the U.S. women's head coach, sitting on the sideline in her chair with like her like legs crossed, just sitting there. She had like this little smirk on her face. I'm like, well, she looks confident. It's because she knew that the first time they got a corner, they were going to run that play and they were going to score. She knew it.
And then 2 minutes later,
boom.
Off the free kick. Off the like, what, free kick from like 22 yards out or so, it just ended up on Carly Lloyd's foot again, and she just buries it. Like, she could not. That goal might as well have been 100 feet wide.
Yeah.
She was not missing. She almost had fourth and fifth goals.
She had. Did you see that? Remember that clip of her where she just barely missed the header, and they showed her in slow motion, like look up and kind of like. At first give like this look like, oh crap, I missed a wide open shot.
She just starts
and then she slowly realized like, I've already got a hat trick.
Yeah, she just gets up and she's just like smiling. She's like, yeah, I almost had four goals. Whatever, like, that's fine.
It's like I almost became even more of a legend.
But no, it was awesome. But yeah, other teams need to take note about how set pieces are run on that team, because it's an absolute clinic.
I know. And the best part is, like, with the American team, just looking at them the way they played this whole tournament, they're not going anywhere. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they're even better 4 years from now, because, I mean, Womack's going to be gone, Christy Rampone's going to be gone, Shannon Box is going to be gone. Those are their three vets who are going to be done. They didn't do anything in this tournament. I mean, Morgan Bryan, Julie Johnston, they're 22 years old, and they came in, and they were awesome. Mm-hmm. Hope Solo and Carly Lloyd still have got years left.
Alex Morgan's probably got one more World Cup in her.
Right, she played this one just off injury. She wasn't mm-hmm. full strength. LaRue and Press barely played.
Mm-hmm.
We've still got Rapinoe. We're still going to have Klingenberg. We're still going to have Krieger. I really hope we still have Becky Sauerbrunn. She's awesome, too.
She's fantastic, man.
I came up with a name for their back line because her nickname is the Broom, mm-hmm. and she's like the leader of the defense. That back four should be called the Legion of Broom.
That's hilarious. That's really
Sorry,
funny.
Steve, but they should be called the Legion of Broom.
That's really funny.
Quick question.
Yeah.
How close is the men's team to achieving this kind of
decade
success? Yeah, we're still ways away.
My grandchildren will put flowers on my grave and talk about how they won the World Cup.
Would Carly Lloyd elevate the play of the men's team at this point?
Just a difference in physicality, but honestly, three goals in the World Cup final can't hurt.
Yeah.
She would have shanked it like Wondolowski did against Belgium.
The problem, and it's a U.S. problem, not a world problem. The problem with the U.S., like U.S. men's soccer, is that we do not start training our kids way European mm-hmm. and, the way European clubs start signing players at age 9 and putting them in their quote-unquote schools. But, you know, it's not really that much of a school. It's really all about soccer.
Right.
Like, we don't do that.
But even our women's team, in the way that they develop talent, is better than our men's.
Mm-hmm.
Like Anson Dorrance, the UNC women's soccer coach, who was the first big-time coach of the U.S. national team, he brought in Mia Hamm and Christine Lilly and Brandi Chastain and Julie Foudy, all when they were like 15 years old, and just put them on the team. and was like, these are the best high school talents. We're just going to put them through the ringer. They're probably going to have a miserable first couple of years, and then they're going to be stars. And they won two World Cups. The men don't do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, a lot has got to change in the men's soccer philosophy in the U.S. if we're ever going to have a chance to win a World Cup. Because right now, like, we're not a bad team. Like,
no.
We'll at this point, we'll probably always get to the round of 16.
Right. We got a shot at the Gold Cup.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know. But until we're willing to work at least as hard as the U.S. women's team does on molding our younger kids, then it's just not going to happen because every other country does it and we don't.
And, you know, it's no accident, by the way, that like six of the players on our last Olympic team are German immigrants who went through German development training schools.
Gotcha.
And Klinsmann, you know, obviously is a German former player, knows about that. I mean, Julian Green scored the goal against Belgium. He's from there. John Brooks scored the big goal against Ghana. He's from there. Jermaine Jones sounds like a German. He's got a heavy German accent, which is really funny. Like, the black dreadlock guy has, like, this crazy German accent. He plays in the U.S., but he is. I mean, he was born and lived most of his life in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
But they're, you know, going to be the future of the team because they've been developed early.
Gotcha.
All right. Let's move on. What's who wants to jump
What happened in the old NBA free agency period?
Spurs happened.
Spurs definitely happened, but really quick. I think we should start because I know this has been weighing on one of our hosts' mind for some time. It's been stressing him out. Now he doesn't need to think about it, at least for another year. Your boy, D. Wade, coming back. Thoughts, feelings, impressions from the man from Fort Lauderdale.
I'm really, 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 really happy because the thought of him in another team killed me. And I like the fact that he got more money than he was originally going to get, and I also like the fact that he signed a one-year contract because it works out for both parties. He gets more money, and Pat Riley still gets to implement his grand plan for 2016. That's why we haven't gone after anybody else, really. I mean, we went after Dragic to retain him. We did. We went after Wade
for
to retain
way
him.
Way too much money.
You know how much he originally wanted? $108 million. We got him for $85 for 5 years.
$108 million. He's smoking fucking rocks.
He won $108
million. $285
And they were going to give it to him. That's the thing. They were going to give it to him.
But
the only reason he took less money
idea.
Is to retain retain Wade.
But isn't the cap set to inflate big time here? Isn't that why a
Next
lot
year.
Of these mid-tier guys
yeah, but
getting
even that,
big
that's
contracts?
That's crazy. That's for Dragic? I mean, Dragic is good.
He's
not that
good. It's not like he was like a monster for once
well,
he got
remember what we had to do
guys.
To get him?
Level bad.
All the future draft picks we had to, you know, trade up to get him. You don't want to have an investment like that just to walk him out, you know, let him go out the door.
That's
so.
Fair.
That's the way I was thinking of it. Because, I mean, you see the guy play. He's solid. He's a really, really great point guard. But at the same time, it's like, dude, you're not worth
that money.
He's not
$17 million a year.
No, not at all. Unless this year he just comes out and starts balling like a maniac, in which case, hey, good
for
you.
And if he does color me wrong, I've never seen him. I've never seen that in his game, that he's that good of a player to pay him that.
But again, I think the reason why they were willing to pay him that much money in the first place is just to retain the guy. Because what would be the point of giving up all those draft picks just to let him walk out the door literally like 4 months after he joined the team? It made no sense. So,
fair, that's a fair assessment.
And it's still a lot less money than what he was – what they were going to pay him. They were prepared to pay him $108 million. He was like, no. I will take less money. I'll pull a D. Wade, give him more money, and then for 2016, we'll also have more money for whatever free agents Pat Riley wants to pursue.
His agent must have said some things to him. Because
same agent as D. Wade.
Because there was no one who was going to pay Goran Dragic $108 million over 5 years. I promise you
the Knicks.
That.
The Knicks. The Lakers. Who knows?
Because they were lobotomized shortly before the last couple of years.
Yeah, but yeah, no, I'm really, really happy. He did a Q&A today over Twitter with some fans, and they were asking him all kinds of questions, and he just said, hey, I'm gambling on myself here with the $20 million. I'm going to show you guys, you know, especially with Justice Winslow here, I don't have to play as many minutes. Gives me more time to do more and, you know, less time on the court. So I'm excited. I'm just happy to have him there because it was fucking weird. Just the idea of it's just like, what? Like, it didn't. I was prepared for it to happen. I was prepared for him to go to the Lakers, whoever else was willing to take him and give him the money he was asking for. But when it was finally announced, yes, he is staying, it's like, good. That's the only, like, you are this far into your career, do you really want to go to another team where they don't love you the way we do? You, that man has literally done more for the city of Miami than any elected official ever has. Think about it. He's brought fame, happiness, business to the city of Miami. Over 10 years, this man has been the face of Miami sports, of South Florida sports. He is our he's the current Dan Marino in that sense.
Would you say he's on par with Don Shula, Dan Marino?
Even more so, man, because he won rings. He won championships. He did what it took to get those championships financially and on the court. So he's a big fucking deal.
You don't think – does a one-year contract worry you at all, that it's not just prolonging the inevitable of him?
No, because depends on what happens this year. They're going to have all their horses back.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and everybody's healthy. Bosch is already back at practice, and
it would just worry me a little bit to, like, you've got that much over a decade invested in this guy, and yeah, $20 million for a year is fantastic, but it will worry me a little bit that it's like they only settled on 1 year. So what happens 365 days from now? Like, what? How is this conversation going to go a year from now when we're sitting here talking about it?
Tomorrow, the next year, the Heat roster is going to look vastly different. You won't see Chalmers in a Heat jersey. You won't see Birdman in a Heat jersey. You might not see Shabazz Napier in a Heat jersey. There's going to be a lot of people getting cut in order to pay certain people to stay and also to pay certain people to come.
They're not going to cut Baz's rookie contract.
They could trade him,
trade him.
They'll keep him through his rookie contract.
We'll see how he performs this year. They might pull a Beasley and just say, fuck him.
Posing a quick question, because pretty much everybody, aside from myself, is a fan of an Eastern Conference team. Your Pacers got a huge deal done taking Monte Ellis, who gave up more money in Sacramento to come to Indiana.
That was a wise choice.
With, like you said, Steve, getting all your horses back, you getting Monte Ellis, Tyler, of these squads in a relatively weak Eastern Conference, who has the best shot at dethroning the Cavs?
Well, it's not us, so I'll abstain.
Because if you got Bosch, hopefully healthy, Wade, healthy and limiting his minutes, Justice Winslow coming along okay, Dragic,
Hassan Whiteside,
if he can not turn into what seems to be a head case a little bit.
We're pursuing Jamal Crawford.
So I was going to say the Clips are shopping Crawford for a big man.
Yeah. I'll be bold. I don't think it's either of us.
Who do you think it is?
I don't think it's anybody. I mean, the Bulls are going crazy. Yeah. I mean, they're getting a new coach.
Hawks?
You think it's Hawks?
If they can stay
I said,
healthy.
And that's a shot. I just don't think Cleveland gets dethroned.
I didn't mean to
pose the question. At
that.
But, right.
Hold on. That's assuming that everybody in the Cavs is 100% healthy. We have no idea how Kevin Love's shoulder is going to act up. We don't know if Kyrie's going to fuck up. He's turning into like a really early D-Wade here.
For sure. But like that's what you said. You said having all the horses back and having them healthy.
All the horses back? I actually think the Heat have a legitimate shot.
Having PG back working with Monte Ellis. Pacers could be awfully dangerous.
You guys had a little bit of 49er syndrome there for a while, though, with everybody leaving, but you made some good acquisitions in the
Leaving. It was just two people leaving and everyone else getting
from
hurt.
Last year, Lance Stevenson's gone. You know, Roy Hibbert's gone. Well, and, you know, I think you were pretty, like, content with that. It's like, you know what? Fucking let him go. His
with
salary
Roy
was
Hibbert
over.
Being
yeah,
gone?
Yeah.
Getting that contract off our books?
I was going to say the Lakers.
Yeah,
only the Lakers.
The Lakers
would grab Roy Hibbert.
The Lakers are picking up the whole salary and giving you a second round pick. Would say you absolutely fleeced them. Unless Hibbert all of a sudden goes back to being Hibbert of 3 years ago.
Even if he does, it'll be for a Lakers squad that will just underperform. Let him be a 20-12 guy on the Lakers. It's not gonna put the Lakers in a championship run situation.
He won't be a 20-12 guy.
He'll be a 4-10 guy. Because
terrible.
He just I don't know what happened to him. But just, as soon as he got paid, he stopped remembering how to play basketball.
Jim Buss again, dude.
Oh.
Like, seriously. You guys have all seen Gladiator, right? Jerry Buss is Marcus Aurelius. Jim Buss is Commodus. I want to look into the death of Jerry Buss, make sure his son didn't smother him with a pillow.
Chest.
It's unbelievable how sorry he is. It's like, you
blow at your job, dude.
Think about how much LA fucked up. Like, I mean, the presence of Kobe really just, like,
I mean, Lou Williams is a decent player, but he's got to be on a good team to be a decent player.
Yeah, Lou.
But like, Lou Williams being the answer, I mean, it's like, no.
You know who doesn't suck at their job? The Spurs.
Greg Popovich and R.C. Buford. I'm sorry, the LaMarcus Aldridge, and today, the David West thing.
At the veteran minimum, too.
He dropped $10.5 million. All I want to know is, what did they say in the negotiating room, and was Luca Brasi present? Because, like, how do you
ring,
get
dude?
$10.5 million?
Ring?
Yes,
here's what they said.
$10.5 million.
Here's what they said. You're 35 years old. The Pacers are not in a position to win an NBA championship in the next 2 years.
Right.
You missed almost half the season with the Pacers last year.
Right.
You've maybe got a year, 18 months, 2 years is pushing it, like, of good basketball left in your life. Do you want to stay and make more money with the Pacers who can't get you a ring? You've got money. You don't have a ring. Or do you want to come to the Spurs, play in what is probably Tim Duncan's last year,
yep,
play when he's passing the torch to a great player like LaMarcus Aldridge, and play with a bunch of other guys who have been in the position and won at least one championship?
Yeah.
I think that's all you had to say to David West
for
him to be like,
oh yeah, no question. And listen, it speaks to him, you know, that, I mean, that he values the ring that much. Because listen, I mean, like,
that's what I love about the dude. He's never been a greedy player.
I know, but I mean, never. But I mean, it's like what it. But that move says to me is like, it's not about the money at all for him. Because I mean,
he's got money.
I know he's got money, but $10.5 million, like, that's a lot of money to drop, dude. Like, is the nightlife in San Antonio that much better than Indy? Like, it's
probably.
I was gonna ask you about
I've never
that.
Been like, into I've never been to San Antonio, but the nightlife in Indy is nothing nothing fantastic.
It's very pretty.
What does Barkley call it? The River Creek.
Yeah, man, it's very nice. No, but I mean, it's the ring, man. This is everybody in the Spurs organization, the old timers, is their last shot to go after number six.
I gotta say, Tyler, they're like the Colts right now. This is like a win this year team right now. They got a bunch of vets who are all in, and like, you gotta respect the Spurs.
And by all in, you mean like halfway into the grave, dude. They're ancient. Like that. Like, this is their last chance to really, like, pull everything they got together. Take the guys around them, just get the genius that they have at the head coach and just go after number six.
This is Don Quixote buckling on his armor right now, you know? Like, I mean, I didn't think anybody had shot an upset in the Warriors, really, but, like,
I hope they just fucking beat
the Cavs. I think the Spurs Spurs could challenge them, man. I mean,
absolutely.
Imagine this is 3 years ago, though, by the way. Aldridge, Duncan, and West on the same team. I know that, you know, Duncan and West are almost done now, but
you got Kawhi.
But they've still got some good minutes in them.
They got Green back for a bargain.
You've got those three in your front court. Are you kidding me? Even if Duncan only plays 20 minutes a game.
Those are three smart bigs, too. They all know exactly
three
what they're
smart,
doing.
Three unselfish bigs. Like, that's...
Just beat the Cavs. Like, if it's
I like how much your mentality has changed.
Totally shifted, guys. I totally shifted.
Dude, listen, I'm not trying to pump you up too much, bro, but you guys could beat the Cavs if you, like, gel well.
We could.
We saw how the Cavs played in Miami last year, but that was pre, you know, Amon Shumpert. Well, the Christmas game was pre Amon Shumpert.
I mean,
and G.R. Smith.
I mean, beat him in seven.
Well, right, yeah, but I mean, if we can stay healthy, we have a legitimate shot piece. Who knows who we're going to get?
I don't know, man. The Cavs are trying to bring back Matthew Dellavedova.
They got Mo Williams.
He's
Dellavedova goes for Wade's knees.
You know, but
hold,
in all seriousness, though, you know what will actually make us threatening to them? Like, there's only one person who's really going to make us threatening to them, and that's Hassan Whiteside. He's watching the Cavs trying to deal with
this.
He
can grow up. I really, truly, and I said this to you, Steve, and I believe it's no BS, but if he can grow up, learn how to play smart and extend his game beyond just muscling down low and develop a little bit of a mid-range jumper, he does remind me of a young KG.
He could be
he's got a battle mentality about him. I'm just saying, if he puts in the work and crafts more to it, because he's so athletic and he's so lean and he's got more speed than a lot of other big guys do, from what I've watched.
It's fucking huge.
If he can figure out how to develop a mid-range jumper and be a little bit better of a facilitator, that's asking a lot. KG's probably going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Plus, I'm just KG saying, didn't just have a mid-range; he had a nasty mid-range.
He did, and that, but that didn't just come about. That wasn't KG right out of the gates as a high school, you know, rookie. Like this, I believe that Coach Spo being, I mean, the reason why Pat Riley, correct me if I'm wrong, the reason why Pat Riley was so high on Coach Spo was because of his relationship with Dwayne Wade, and B, the way he taught Dwayne Wade how to have a jump shot. So I don't think it's beyond Spo to be able to teach Whiteside that part of his game and to mold and to craft a better jump shot, a really good mid-range. That being said, he's got to tone it down a little bit. He gets a little bit overly emotional.
He's like a baby scorpion.
Takes him out of venom to
inject. He does it. Like, he like freaks out.
How old is he? 24?
22.
Yeah, he's a young dude. 22. So,
but like you said, dude, if he can hold in his emotions, realize it's just a game, don't take it personally. If he can work on his mid-range shot and work at his free throws.
Yeah.
He could be a serious absolutely monster. It takes three guys to go. Like, he was making Mozgov his bitch, like just like literally lobbing dunks right over his head. I mean, like, if he can mature up, oh my God.
And like I said, if I'm more or less the KG comparison, I guess more I just was thinking of that in the way overall, the way he moves in his athleticism. And if he's able to bring other aspects to his game, he could be super, super formidable. He could really, really be tough to contend with.
Tyler, I don't know about you, but I've been watching the summer league games with all of our rookies.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking awesome. I love that shit. It's just pure, it's like undiluted basketball. It's rough around the edges, but it's cool because you're watching these guys like form a camaraderie around the rookies, like Zoran Dragic.
I should be watching that.
Winslow. Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun to watch, and Tyler Johnson and these guys. It's just a lot of fun to watch these guys literally from the very beginning and see where they could end up in a few years. Whiteside's not in there, but a lot of other guys are. So
Justice is playing, right?
Justice is killing it.
I'll be in Vegas this weekend, so I'll see a bunch of the summer league games.
Yeah, he's killing it, dude. He got like 17 points today against the Pistons. We beat the Pistons there in Orlando, but it's cool watching those guys. And
I haven't been able to catch any of the Pacers games so far, but Miles Turner is already looking very promising.
Yeah, because it gets you excited. It's like training camp, it gets you kind of like revved up. Absolutely. Like, you forget about all that media bullshit that they've been spewing for the offseason, and you get to see just a tiny glimpse of what you could expect from these guys. Obviously they're not playing, legitimate threats yet. The season hasn't started yet. The real starters aren't playing, but just to see where your rookies are headed, what their strengths are, what they could bring, what they need to work on. It's just kind of cool to see it from the very beginning.
Absolutely. So we definitely seem to like San Antonio as a favorite out of the West, but there's another team in Texas that made another really, really, really big move in free agency, and that's the Dallas Mavericks. Picked up DeAndre Jordan
ever,
for a max contract.
Free agency, like in recent history.
What do you guys think that does to Dallas as far as making them contenders, not contenders? Do you think this is just a lot of hot air, or do you really think that he's going to elevate them?
Elevate, yes. Do anything for getting them in a championship position again? No because and this is going to sound disrespectful, but it's not. But Mavericks are never going to win another championship with Dirk.
Yeah.
I don't even think that's disrespectful. It's just realistic.
Yeah.
Dirk's too old. He.
And no Monte. That's a big loss.
Yeah. That's huge. Because
no Tyson Chandler either.
DJ may not have gotten along with Chris Paul, and it sounds like, I don't necessarily blame him, but DJ's going to figure out real quick how good Paul made him look and how an elite point guard can really make a big man look great. Now, that being said, DJ's a great defender. I can't take that away from him. Chris Paul can't play defense for him. But as far as wanting to be the man, which is supposedly the entire reason why DeAndre Jordan left the Clippers to be the man, I think, coupled with the fact that you're going to be playing with a super old geezer in Dirk, who I love, who's definitely, definitely one of the best fours, I think, to ever play the game. No question.
It's just he literally can't move.
Absolutely.
He literally can't move his body.
My question is, what are the Mavericks going to do about their backcourt? Because obviously Rondo didn't work out. Monte Ellis is gone. I mean, because here's the thing. I trust Rick Carlisle. I think Rick Carlisle is a great coach. And I think DeAndre Jordan can be like a more athletic version of Tyson Chandler if coached well. But they don't have anybody to get Jordan or Dirk the ball right now. I mean, they got to figure that out. Like, I mean, no. Actually, who do they have? It's not.
They have Jeremy Lin.
Right.
They're about to sign. If it hasn't gone through yet, they're about to sign and trade.
Darren Collison? Yeah. Is it?
Collison's in SAC.
Right. No, that's it. Never mind. Sorry. Yeah, I forgot he was with them ages ago.
And then Rondo went to Sacramento. Boy, I don't envy George Karl right now. I really don't.
I think George Karl should just quit.
Boogie Cousins and Rajon Rondo.
He came back to coach a bunch of buttheads.
That's a lot of egos.
If I'm George Karl, I'm praying that they just fire me because they know I don't want to work with
Boogie.
That's
got to be coming, right? It just seems.
And if I was George Karl, I'd be praying for it because I still get my money and I don't have to deal with those horrible personalities.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I like Boogie as a player, but he has a terrible personality.
Oh, and Rondo obviously.
And Rondo
sucks.
Rondo can S my D. I hate that. I hate
garbage.
Him. He is probably my third least favorite player in the NBA behind Boozer and Joakim Noah.
Yeah.
I know Steve.
You really like those Bulls.
The Heat were talking about signing him too. I was just like, no. No. I will not pay tickets to go see him.
Yeah. See, my thing, my guy is always going to be until he just withers and dies is Nick Young. I can't stand him.
Swaggy Pizzle?
Hate him.
Swag Piz?
Him and his girlfriend can just screw them and the horse they rode in on, man. Like, oh my God. Terrible, dude.
They're awful.
They're garbage.
The only reason I love Swaggy P is because he gave himself that nickname, and I think that's hilarious. If you give yourself a nickname like that, okay, come on. You're kind of awesome.
I don't know. I just feel like people need to give you your nicknames. You can't
be that arrogant to give yourself that nickname when you're not even really proven in the NBA.
Yeah. King James.
He
didn't give himself
that nickname. People were calling him that.
People were calling him that since
he
was like 15.
Yeah.
It was just an easy
2-6, bro.
Yeah. But like,
look down at your rings and tell me what to say.
Oh gosh!
You mean two of
the six?
Two of six. Yeah, two of six.
But like,
it's still a better percentage than 0 of 0, which is what a lot of people have.
Hell yeah!
Yeah, but a lot of people are 0 and 0, and they didn't have to jump teams to get it.
Yeah. Well, dude, can I just address your LeBron age for a moment? You are literally like, okay, so imagine there's like a guy and a girl in a relationship right now, and then the guy leaves his girlfriend to go to another girl. And then it goes sour on the second girl, and it goes back to the first girlfriend. And the second girlfriend is sitting there like, oh my God, how could he possibly do this to me? You're the second girlfriend.
Yeah, what the fuck? I treated you good.
He proved himself as a cheater, and then you're shocked when you as the other woman get cheated on?
You
like,
also,
come on, yo, you knew what he was about.
You also have a little
technically
bit
of loyalty
cheat,
to
though.
You.
It's not as intense.
I still hate LeBron, but technically didn't
cheat. It's not as intense, but you have a little bit of drunken Scotty Bradfire syndrome going on.
I do, totally. I'm not denying it. No, but like, seriously, but you, dude, come on, man. We 4 straight final appearances. We treat you like one of our own. You're living in South Beach. You're an icon down there. You got 2 great friends you made over the last 4 years. You guys made history together, and then just to ditch it just because you got your ass spanked in the finals.
It has nothing to do with the finals.
But he said, you know what he said to CNN? If they had won against the Spurs, he would have stayed.
Because he wants to defend
Steve,
a championship.
But he needed to go home.
Yeah, enjoy the factories by the lake, man. Enjoy it.
That's my
I'll be down in South Beach drinking margaritas with tits in my face.
Yes, what are you crying about?
You also can do that right here.
I could, but I'm just saying, the fucker didn't come to LA. He went to Miami, the piece of shit. Yeah, have fun going to the strip clubs by the fucking dink-ass factories. Oh, chode.
I love it.
Yeah, enjoy your fucking, you know, mansion by the sewer.
I really just hate the
Maybe you and Johnny Football can fondle each other.
I really hate the thought that my mom...
Johnny into this.
Because he wanted to go to Cleveland, too. Like, everybody's
really
losing their minds.
I really,
what?
I really hate the thought that my mom is going to listen to you just go on that rant.
Mrs. Barry, I hope you enjoy this.
This has been elevated to a whole new
level. No, but hold on. And I said it again. I'm totally grateful for everything that, you know, he did and, you know.
I can tell.
But he did do it on his own. And the yeah, sooner people realize that, start preaching that shit, that he didn't do it on his own. Mr. Choke that takes the three-point shot, misses, and then Chris Bosh has to save his ass and pass to Ray Allen.
I love it.
With his bullshit jump shot, too. Again with the fucking jump shot. The fuck? Okay, you do this every time.
Okay, all right.
Every time there's a clutch situation, jump shot. Oh, I missed it. What, who saw that one coming? It only happened 30 times earlier in the second quarter.
What awesome.
What have we done?
So, trivia. We're going to move on.
We're going to move on to trivia.
Pulling the plug.
That was a great end that to the NBA free agency segment.
Go Heat!
I don't know that anyone even remembers we were talking about
when you're due.
NBA free agency.
Oh, man. That was...
I don't want to think about what happens if Wade doesn't re-sign after this year.
Okay, look, I just got us moved on,
no,
Christian.
No, go on.
All right.
We love you.
So, in the spirit of... Actually, this isn't really in the spirit of anything, but I don't give a fuck.
No,
so, your question tonight is, as we all know, Wilt Chamberlain holds the record for most points scored in an NBA game.
Hey, Wilt!
With 100.
Yes, he does.
Ball-hogging bitch.
That would have been an easy question to ask you.
Yeah,
what? But, the question I pose to you, gentlemen, who holds the record for the second most NBA points
in a
game.
I think I got it.
Finally, something I knew.
Is it Wilt Chamberlain?
Hey, Wilt.
David Thompson. Kobe Bryant. David Robinson. I did.
Jumping the gun here, man.
You guys all ready?
I'm ready, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, you fucked up, Steve.
I screwed up.
Final answer.
The answer is Kobe Bryant with 81 points.
Hell yeah!
The Raptor game, babe.
Yeah, you don't get bonus points for getting the points right, but good job. Christian's still in the lead. Drew moves into a sole second place, and Steve Cravens is...
Wilt had 76 for third place, right?
Fuck! I knew
he had third, fourth, and fifth place.
And, did he really? Robinson I didn't know that. Wow.
Yep.
I knew it.
I originally was not going to put Wilt in the question, and I was like, I bet this trips one of them up.
It did? No, it tripped me up. I mean, I knew Kobe had 81, but I was like, I think I saw a list earlier. I was like, was Wilt number two or number three with 76?
He was number three, yeah.
He was number three. Fuck, dude.
Solid.
See, so, yeah. But if you had listed Alonzo Mourning, you'd have put that down. So yeah.
Alonzo Mourning was a fucking beast. Stop crying.
No one's crying.
Christian's crying a lot.
I don't know that he is. Also, I don't know what he'd be crying about.
I love Alonzo, man. Georgetown.
Oh, my God. Okay. Surrounded by
Zo.
Love all right, Zo. So, yeah. Christian's in first place with, I don't know, however many points I feel like saying. Let's say 12.
Hell yeah, man.
Drew's right behind him with 11. I'm coming. Steve's bringing up the rear. No pun intended.
That's
with
what I
10.
Do. I enjoy bringing something up in the rear.
Oh, God damn it.
Jesus.
I'm just going to tell my parents not to listen to this episode.
This is got to be Steve's best podcast. No question.
This is why we got that 7-second tape delay. Oh, wait, we don't?
All right, we got time. Drew, you want to take us into your segment?
Sure.
Yeah, dude, segment.
I don't really have a whole heck of a lot. We covered most of it in the
more segments
NBA free agency bit. But last time...
Doesn't make any sense.
With the old keeping a GM topics, I did want to talk a little bit about the NFL offseason because there's nothing going on. We've got... Well, officially, the NFL idiot season has begun.
Your
face is scary.
Would I trade Joe Montana for Blaine Gabbert? Absolutely.
to take a saying from your phrase book, you look like you just saw someone in a Bukkake video.
Oh god.
So
Mr. Russell Wilson talks to God, and he also thinks that he deserves $25 million. Do you guys
shut
believe?
The fuck up, Russell?
Jesus.
Well, let's get okay.
Also,
Steve,
not how a GM would talk.
Okay,
to
Steve,
his
keep a GM.
Can you imagine? We're going in to see GM Cravens.
Steve, keep a GM.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what the Niners GM said to Patrick Willis after he.
All right, please,
Steve, keep a GM for us. Russell Wilson wants $25 million this season. That would be three more than Aaron Rodgers, who is currently the highest paid NFL player.
It's not Cutler anymore?
Well, no, it is not Cutler anymore. Cutler really, really helped those that
look at that,
that wanted to get paid, though. So, but yeah, Steve, you spend a lot of time watching NFC West opponents. Is Russell Wilson worth $25 million?
No. No, he's not.
Not at all?
No. I don't think anybody's worth more than Aaron Rodgers.
Nobody.
No, I don't think currently in this NFL, I don't think anybody's worth more than what Aaron Rodgers is putting out. I mean, what was Aaron Rodgers, 22?
He's at 22, yep.
Dude, come on, man. No, I'm sorry. You don't deserve to make more than Aaron Rodgers. You just don't. You don't. You're blessed.
Even though you've been to the last two Super Bowls, and
okay,
Aaron Rodgers has not. And
I do love
choked.
That I do love that.
And let's not forget, he led his team on a bit of a choke fest in the old NFC Championship.
Now hold on a second. We can debate this all night, but obviously that's
the
his
one
fault.
Dude,
he's the one who got him into field goal range to tie that shit and send it to overtime.
At the end of the day, he's still the leader of that team.
And Mike McCarthy's a
D-bag.
Because I know Drew feels
he played it the only way he could.
He did it right with the field goal.
I love hearing about how much Aaron Rodgers blows, frankly, because it makes Brady sound better. Aaron Rodgers is like the one dude I wouldn't blame for that crap. Like,
threw
he
two ugly picks.
He threw two ugly picks.
He certainly did.
He threw two picks. He threw one to Sherman, and then he threw one in the third on a little buttonhook out.
The one in the third was really.
They're both
like,
not
that was
great.
Like, he might as well have just passed it to the Seahawks.
Maybe
on
the
that.
Best quarterback in the league, but he still helped that team lose that game.
Absolutely.
But hold on a second. Hold on. Russell Wilson is blessed with the second best running back in the league. Some would even say the first. He's also blessed.
I put him at one. Who's better than Lynch?
Adrian Peterson.
I don't think you can say that when you haven't seen him play in a year.
Okay, the point. All right. He's got a brilliant running back.
Yeah.
He's got a great offensive line. He's got those little legs where he just takes off and runs like Speedy Gonzalez. And then he's got a killer defense in case he fucks up, which is exactly what happened in the NFC Championship game.
Sure.
Every time he threw a fucking pick, that defense was there to bail his ass out most of the time.
Fair enough.
It's true. I'll give you that, man. I mean, four picks in the NFC Championship game and got his ass completely bailed out. And then, let's keep it real. We can blame Pete Carroll and Daryl Bevel and all those idiots for the pick, but Russell Wilson threw the pick.
He did throw it.
Out of the four picks he threw, one of them was just like the one that bounced off Jermaine Kearse and that just happened to land in the arms. Who was it? Was
for context, you're
Dix.
Talking about the Super
Bowl.
Pick.
Sorry,
Super Bowl.
Oh,
yeah.
But I just didn't want to get people confused.
I was talking about the NFC Championship.
He was referencing the final pick to Malcolm Butler.
He fucked up both games.
No, yeah, totally. He could have called an audible and just ran it in, but he didn't. Fuck him. So, seriously, he cost his city a second Super Bowl.
To be fair, in that situation, when you're still that young of a quarterback, you're not calling an audible
on that play. Well, he's done it plenty of times in the past.
In the Super Bowl on the one-yard line with the game on the line?
I mean, listen.
You don't have the audacity
to
call an audible against
your OC. I really would love to ask Russell
Wilson.
If I had to sit down with him and just like have coffee with him, just like, dude, honestly, tell me the truth. When you were in that situation, did you really think it was a good idea to pass on the 1 yard line? What was going through your mind? Did you consider calling an audible? Did you think, okay, maybe this is a bad idea, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway because my coach and my offensive coordinator are telling me to do it? I would have loved to hear his answer. Like, tell me the truth. Did you think it was a good idea to do it? And if you didn't think it was a good idea, why'd you take it upon yourself to call an audible in that situation?
Well, I mean,
if something was bothering you right here about it, you're going against a goal line defense that was pretty fucking good throughout the Super Bowl, man. They were doing a great job, that defense.
But here's the deal, dude. I mean, it's not even that. I mean, he talks to God. God told him to throw that pass.
He did.
But the problem is that God is a Patriots fan.
Yeah. He is a Patriots fan.
And he's like, he's
not a Seahawks fan.
Brady's my boy.
If anything, we've learned that God's not a Seahawks fan because he gave him that hope of going to the NFC Championship game that he took it away from him.
So, as the GM, and you're not going to pay him allegedly what it is he wants, which is supposedly 25, that's essentially where the number seems to be set right now based upon a Sunday conversation he had on SportsCenter. Do you run the risk of letting him walk?
No,
you just negotiate down.
Yeah,
you think
gotta find a common ground here. Russell said it. Sorry, go ahead. I've been talking on the left.
No, I guess.
I mean, like, I mean, like, Wilson asked, like, his top ask, like, his opening negotiating bit is $25 million. That's to be, that's right? That's what it is?
That it seems to be. Nobody knows exactly for sure what number he's asking for. He is supposedly asking to be the highest paid NFL player, quarterback.
I get it. I get he's asking for $25 million. I get that he wants that money. I mean, like, I want to sleep with Margot Robbie for all the good it does me.
No,
you know what I'm saying? It's like, negotiate down.
Gotcha.
You know? Fight with him. Nobody else has given him $25 million.
I will
not
say,
a chance.
I will say there's...
So if they're not going to give it to him, work it down.
There is one chip, I believe, that the Russell Wilson camp holds that that sets him apart slightly from Aaron Rodgers in that you look at the receivers and the targets he has to go through. Yes, like now he's got Jimmy Graham.
I was gonna say he's got Jimmy Graham
now he does.
An unproven Jimmy Graham in that offensive scheme.
Exactly.
Like, you can't automatically just
I fucking hate how people are like,
but the Seahawks do best when they're throwing over the middle. Like, I think Graham's gonna be perfect.
We don't, and I hope it's fucking.
I was gonna say you're hoping that because you're a little nervous.
I'm not, dude. I'm fucking. I'm,
well, the thing I gotta say about Jimmy Graham is that he's not.
I'm not nervous
at all.
I'm not fucking nervous.
Yeah, I would be nervous.
Dez, come to the Niners.
Need Dez come to the Niners.
Dallas is over. Anyway, but no, well, I don't think I'm paying him 25. You've got to negotiate down. Come on, man. Really?
Yeah. I mean, stop. I wouldn't flip if he made the same as Rodgers. You know? But
yeah,
more,
you
want to
make the same? That's
stupid.
One thing. But like, remember, this is
stupid.
He's a good quarterback. He's was I talking with you where we both agreed that he was a good quarterback, but he's not great. He's not great. He's good. He makes great plays.
See, he's a good quarterback, but what they need to pay him for is the fact that he's a great leader.
But I'm not even that into him as a leader, yo.
Why?
His team is.
The end of the day, if your team is they've gotten it. They've been to the last two Super Bowls. Like,
I don't think it's
because
of him.
We can't deny that.
I think they got better voices in that locker room.
All right, so you're going to...
I think Sherman and Thomas are better leaders.
So you're telling me if we put Charlie Whitehurst in that offense, that he's taking them to the last two Super Bowls?
I'm not saying you put anybody in the offense, but I'm not saying that Russell Wilson is the best voice in the locker room. And if you're paying him $25 million, he's got to be the biggest voice in the
locker
room.
But he's still the voice under center.
I don't know.
That says a lot.
Coach Cravens calls a timeout.
Especially for how young he is.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but at the beginning of the season, weren't there locker room controversies over
Percy Harvin?
That was Harvin.
I remember Russell Wilson's name was thrown in there a lot.
Because of his relationship with Percy Harvin.
His personal relationship with Wilson.
Harvin's an absolute cancer.
I can tell you firsthand that in Ben Lieber, who is... He big-time correspondent, former Viking, was on the 2009 NFC Championship team that obviously lost to the Saints. He said, Percy's great probably 60% of the time, but that other 40%, he just comes into work pissed off at everybody for no reason at all. And he doesn't want to be led. He doesn't want to be told what to do. And his ego got in the way with Wilson. And it sounded like Russell Wilson was... trying to essentially simmer him down a little bit. Be like, look, man, we can't be having this kind of negative energy. You can't be coming in wanting to fight everybody every single day. Because that's Percy. He wanted to rip off, and I did too, but he wanted to rip off Brad Childress's head when he was in Minnesota.
Yep.
Obviously, Seattle, as an organization, felt it was more important to take their lead off of Wilson, the quarterback, the leader of that offense, and kick his ass out.
Right.
And they made the smart decision because even though they lost the Super Bowl,
they still got the Super Bowl. You want to talk about, okay, I'll maybe level with you a little bit in that I don't think Wilson is the biggest voice in that locker room. Yeah. I believe that Richard Sherman is. Mm-hmm. That being said, whenever Richard Sherman has an opportunity to stand at a podium and talk about the offense and its leader, it's always been Russell Wilson.
Lynch.
I'm not saying, I mean, he definitely spreads it out, but you can't tell me that Lynch is a big voice in the locker room. And I love Beast Mode, but he's not standing up. He does his own thing, and they love him for it.
I'm with you. There is no question that Russell Wilson is the voice of the offense. No question. But that team is still about the defense. And I mean, like, if you're going to shell out that amount of money, like, you got to be Jesus of freaking Nazareth. And he's not.
But
you know, I mean, I mean, Russell Wilson's a very, very, very good quarterback. I mean, like, you guys are saying good, not great. I'd say very good, not good. The problem is, up until this point and until the last two games of the season, I'd say what is good about him is he doesn't make mental mistakes and throw bad passes. He doesn't make mistakes. Then he made four picks in the NFC Championship and the biggest interception in the history of football. So, yeah, he does make mistakes. Sure. So we're going to give him more money than anybody. Yeah, of course he does, but he brings to the table so much more than Wilson.
All right, let's look at it from a straight-up business standpoint. Let's talk about supply and demand. We are in probably the worst quarterback drought. The worst good franchise quarterback drought
you mean
I can think
draft
of.
Draft prospects?
People in the NFL already, quarterbacks in the NFL already, draft prospects. Think of how many we talked about this 1,000 times on this podcast, how terrible the free agent market for quarterbacks has been, not only this year, but the last couple of years.
Right.
If you're not going to pay Russell Wilson 25, that's fine. He probably doesn't deserve 25. But are you going to let him walk at the end of the day? Are you going to let him walk and risk ending up with an Austin Davis or a Tavares Jackson? Josh Freeman, Charlie Whitehurst, Jake Locker. Are the guys that are available.
No, but the point is, like, listen, if Wilson's going to walk over 25 over, like, 22 or 21, I just don't see that happening.
I bet he believes that he can get it somewhere else.
And I bet his agent believes, and I bet his agent knows that
because
they can get
and I can say firsthand, as
they're not worth that money if you're going to walk away from a Super Bowl contender like that.
It's the business of the NFL these days, especially at the quarterback position.
I can tell you firsthand, as a fan of a franchise, that
David Wells taking a $10.5 million.
Seriously, as a fan of a franchise that has been searching for a franchise quarterback, if you don't have one, you're looking to get one any way you can, and you'll overpay for him.
Yep.
And you'll go all in on guys. He'll get his money one way or the other.
Yep.
There is a franchise out there that believes that. He is right for their system, that they've got better targets for him. I believe Wilson will get paid. Yep. I believe in it. And maybe I don't necessarily, if I were to be the GM, do I feel good about giving him 25? No, I don't feel great about giving him 25. But I know that I've got my guy. And I can build around that and continue to build around that.
It's like, I'll put it this way from my standpoint, because we could argue about this till the cows come home. But at the end of the day, is his skill worth $25 million a year? No. But is it worth knowing that my team's offense is in solid, capable hands? I have a quarterback who knows what he's doing.
Who knows the
offense.
Who
knows the playbook. I don't have to plug and play with some guy I've never had in my offense before. He knows how to make receivers who 4 weeks ago were working in a finish line look like franchise caliber receivers.
And if you can bring in guys with the playmaking ability of Percy Harvin without the mental case, how much better can you feel?
That's
about
what
Wilson?
Is worth $25 million to me.
Absolutely. If we're going on simple skill set alone, no. 25 is not the number.
Absolutely.
But what
not.
He's been able to do. There are 40 quarterbacks in the NFL that are set to make more money than him this year.
And there are probably
probably
9 of them that are worth it.
And that shows you how much he's just completely outplayed expectations, given his size, where he came from.
Of course, but to me, the thing, and listen, I mean, you're making a very good case. I'm not, like, debating that. The thing is, because they've gotten such a bargain out of him, that's why the Seahawks have been able to maintain such a good ensemble cast. They're able to have depth on both sides of the ball. They give him that much money, their defense is going to get shaved down. There's no question about
defense
that.
Is probably going to get shaved down anyhow.
Yeah, but no, but they're going to get shaved down a lot now. $25 million, that's a lot to make up.
Yeah.
They're going
to
lose
I'd like to see the numbers, because their offense was very, very shaved down already.
Yeah, but they paid Sherman and Thomas. They're going to lose. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if in the next couple of years they lose Chancellor.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I think they're going to lose Chancellor anyways, because I think Chancellor deserves.
I think he is
premier safety in the NFL and deserves to be paid
They pay Wilson. Chancellor's gone, no question. Like,
I think he's gone anyways. I just think that's. I don't know. He's an elite safety,
and he's one of those guys
elite player, period.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that it's clear his skill is not based on being part of the Legion of Boom.
Yeah.
No.
His skill is just that. Pure skill. He can go play anywhere and be just as good, if not better.
Honestly, I thought he was the best guy in their secondary last year. Better than Sherman or Thomas.
Absolutely. Me and especially my little brother would agree with you 100%.
Those idiots on NFL Top 10 rated him behind them, but yeah, no way. Wow. I think he's better.
I told Joe this the other day, and Joe got pissed off at me for saying it because he hates the Seahawks. But I think
shout out to our boy Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Broncos fan.
He said that... No, I said that Cam Chancellor is the Ronnie Lott of our generation. He's like, how can you say that? I was just like, think about it. Dude, the guy's a fucking monster. How many receivers have you heard that, like, as soon as they get the ball and they're playing the Seahawks, they're like, now I got to worry about Chancellor.
Exactly.
Chancellor's out there.
You don't want to go over the middle.
And you heard players say the exact same thing about Ronnie Lott.
How are we doing on time?
We're out of time.
Okay, I was going to say, I got a couple other ones if we wanted to get to them, but we can, again, hold this off.
So are we split on that verdict with Wilson?
I am of the mindset that if I were the GM...
The wording of the verdict, like 25 yes?
Yeah, or? If I were the GM of Seattle, I would pay Russell Wilson. I would absolutely pay. I would obviously try to bring him back down if I could. Definitely. But if he ends up getting about one to two more million than Aaron Rodgers. We put him at, he wants 25. If I end up throwing
23?
If I put 23 or 24 at him, I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable where the franchise is heading. And that's the other thing is like, I mean, I can't really bring this into the argument, but at the end of the day, yeah, it would suck to have to shave the defense. The Seahawks have proven they know how to draft, much like your boys in New England do. They turned a receiver from Stanford, what was Richard Sherman, a sixth-rounder, fourth-rounder, something like that?
Sixth-rounder.
Into, I hate saying it, a top-three cornerback. I still won't say he's the best because there's guys that would take over him, but that's the other reason. Like, you got to think, if you're Seattle, you're confident. Okay, yeah, we will lose guys, but it's so important to have a quarterback that you trust, and I believe Wilson is worth that money.
Yeah, I feel the same way because, like I said, at the end of the day, there's just no free agent quarterbacks. You will get no one that will be even remotely as competent as Russell Wilson. And I say competent because I don't consider Russell Wilson an quote-unquote elite quarterback, but I consider him a very good quarterback. But there's not even anyone in free agency that I would call good at this point. It's gutter trash.
Not free agency, even if
you were to let him walk and start over, and let's say by the grace of God you were able to get an Andrew Luck prospect, it's still a rebuilding process.
Yeah.
It still takes time. It takes so much time for these guys to get it figured out.
It's the one position where if you have an established guy and you let him go, you're automatically rebuilding.
Right. No, that's definitely true. I mean, listen, to be clear, I mean, like, I'm with you guys. Like, if I had a choice between giving him $25 million and having him walk, I'd pay him, mm-hmm. no question. But, like, if I'm the Seahawks, I'm trying to negotiate pretty hard because,
they're
at a point where they do need to. Because, I mean, here's the thing, man. They keep everybody and just bring them back along with Graham next year. Obviously, that's in a complete and total vacuum devoid of cap.
Sure.
They're the best. I think they're the best team in football. They're my personal favorites to win the Super Bowl this year.
Seahawks.
Yeah, and I would
agree.
But I think they're awesome. So whatever you can do to keep the band together, that to me is the priority. If that means having to, you know, stump with Russell a bunch, so be it. But I mean, they can't afford to let him go and completely blow up the ship.
Right. Good. Steve, final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you got to pay him. It's like John Harbaugh said with like all the Ravens leaving, and you know, it's just like sometimes you just got to take it on the chin. It's like, you know.
And that's the other thing is you look at that situation, everybody thought Flacco was overpaid, and maybe he is overpaid, but they don't have to worry about
January Joe. Yeah,
they don't have to worry about a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, no, yeah, totally.
And that is a huge. As a Vikings fan, I can tell you that sucks year in and year out having to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Having to start training camps with your Christian Ponders and your T-Jacks, guys that show the ability, but haven't given you the consistency yet. Like, hell with that, man. I'd rather bring in the guy that's gotten you to back-to-back Super Bowl titles. Of
course. Totally, but like at the same time, like if you're going to pay him that much, you'd be like, okay, so you taking all this money, we're not going to be able to afford a lot of other people around here. So guess what? You're going to earn that.
And you're going to ball out.
You're the most paid quarterback in the NFL. Go out there and earn it. No more of that interception on the one-yard bullshit anymore.
Call an audible.
Yeah, yeah. Call an audible. Seriously, if some
$25 million you can call the audible.
Yeah,
you're if they're paying you like that, you're the man. You get to
whatever it takes. Don't get picked by a rookie free agent.
Yeah, that was
seriously like no more of that shit.
All right, that's it for us.
Way to keep a GM, guys.
No deal.
Nice work.
Thank you. Yeah, that's it for us for this week. Next weekend, I should say, I am off. I'll be in Vegas watching Summer League.
Nice.
Lucky bust. So try to get one in sometime next week, like during the week sometime, if
definitely
possible.
Try to get one in.
Yeah, otherwise, we'll just see in two weeks, but we'll let you guys know. So as always, for Steve Cravens.
Thanks for listening.
For Christian Schneider.
Signing out from the Boiler Room.
What?
Boiler Room, you.
The boiling over the
movie?
Fucking GM thing, dude?
Oh
my God, my confused. Reference is going all over the freaking
man,
heads.
I didn't really quite catch it, but that's...
Whatever.
But now we know.
For Drew Willers.
Vote Dozier.
I might vote Dozier. Okay, I'll probably vote Dozier.
Okay, cool.
Tonight.
Thanks, man. I appreciate
that. No problem.
Yeah, vote Dozier.
I'm Tyler Berry. This has been the 51-Yard Line, and we'll see y'all next time.